Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. And Father, I ask that you make my words come out plain and clear of speech. Father, anoint your people to hear it, catch it, receive it, and run with it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we're talking about the love of God. The love of God. How many of you remember last Sunday that's where we was with the love of God? Oh, all of you remember, right? So, good place to turn to would be Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. And I just want to make a couple of statements here that we've already covered. One of the things that I said, that the reason believers have an easier time loving God, whom they can't see, over those whom they can see, is because God is the only one able to put up with them. Remember we said that? Why are so many believers not having a problem walking with God and yet not able to walk with their neighbor? And we're brought out because God is the only one that puts up with them. He is the only one that does. And God wants His love in us to be able to do the same thing. Put up with people that you have a hard time putting up with. Praise God. But in Galatians chapter 5, let's go to verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. I want you to underline through love. Through love, serve one another. For all law is fulfilled in one word, in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we read in Matthew 22, 23 through 34, or I can't remember all the verses there, Matthew 20, about the young man approaching Jesus and said, confronted him about what is the great law. And Jesus said, what is it? And he said, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and your neighbor as yourself, is what Jesus put in there. He says, and the same is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Meaning that the same love that you would love God with, truly love God with, is the same love that will be found loving your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Can anybody tell me who your neighbor is? It means anybody you come in contact with. They now become your neighbor. And so the reason I had you turn here in this particular passage, I wanted you to catch this one verse that says, but through love serve one another. And then verse 14 literally expresses that Matthew 22 incident. Now, go to verse 16. I say then, walk in spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, notice it says, walk in spirit. Now, if I'm leaving words out and you notice that I am in your translation, because I'm reading it out of the Greek and I'm not reading it according to your translation. And so the words should not be there anyway. But he says, I say then, walk in spirit, and you shall not fulfill or complete the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. Actually, a better word, these oppose one another. These oppose one another. They oppose one another. Now watch this. So that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. So I was listening to a tape by T.D. Jakes and I loved it. Matter of fact, I'm going to play the whole tape to this body when I get over into really drawing up a real vision in you about the difference between the body of flesh and the life of the spirit. But he brought up the incident about Isaac actually producing in Rebekah's womb two children. And there was a struggle that was going on in the inside of Rebecca. She says, you know, Lord, if this is really of you, why am I having this struggle take place on the inside of me? What's going on here? And the Lord said, well, you've got two nations on the inside of you. Now, Isaac is the son of who?
Abraham.
And so Rebecca had the same traits that Sarah had. She was barren. And so now Isaac is a child of the promise. Amen. In other words, Abraham was delivered the promises, but Isaac would bring forth the fruit of the promise. How many understand what? Isaac would bring forth the fruit of that promise. Isaac would bring forth the fruit of that promise. Isaac would. Isaac is a type of something happening in Rebecca concerning conception. And notice what happened in her once she was conceived in her womb. A war broke out. You know what? I like what T.D. Jakes said. Before I got born again, I liked to party, and I liked to party hardy. I mean, when it came to living out of the flesh, there was no restriction. But when I got born again, a struggle began to take place on the inside of me. And so we got on one side of her a little guy named Esau. God said, I saw Esau. And on the other side, Jacob. Have you ever wondered all those scriptures? I found them in the New Testament or the Old Testament, all over the Old Testament. I will remove the reproach of Jacob. Have you ever wondered about those verses? I will remove the reproach of Jacob. I was going back there and trying to find out what Jacob did. What was it that Jacob did that brought a reproach? I found out Jacob is a type of the spirit that is on the inside of us. And the reproach is the body of flesh, Esau. And it says that when they both came out, guess who came out first? The firstborn came out of the womb of Rebekah. And it said that Jacob followed having a hold of his heel. You know what, after the fall? It says, I'm going to crush your head, Satan, but you'll bruise my heel. That literally is a term meaning that wherever Jesus put his foot in his earth walk, Satan would come behind and bring a reproach to it. Here out comes Jacob, the second one, out of the womb and holding his heel. Whew, why have I got this struggle going on the inside of me? If this is really of you, Lord, how come all of a sudden, if this is supposed to be a good thing, why do I have this war going on inside of me? You know, when I got saved, I thought I was better off not being saved because all of a sudden I find a struggle going on the inside of me. I never had a struggle going on the inside of me till I got born again. And now all of a sudden, I got a struggle going off on the inside of me. How many of you ever done that? You know what the prophecy said? The prophecy said, I am going to bring a division between the two. And the younger will, what? Will lord it over the elder. The elder will serve the younger. Woo! Meaning my inner man can actually grow up to the point that my outer man will serve my inner man. I'm Jacob. Now I'm going to control this house. And my body of flesh isn't going to dictate to me what I'm going to do. My inner man is going to dictate to me what I'm going to do, how I'm going to think, how I'm going to move, how I'm going to walk, how I'm going to talk, and not my outer flesh. And my outer flesh, I got news for you. Esau, you are not indebted to Esau, not one bit. And when he cries out for his due day, tell him you're not beholden to anything he wants. Paul says, I take my body and I make it obey me. And notice what he goes on and he says that, that's what he's saying right here. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh is evident, which are contrary. Well, your body of flesh, when we were talking in depth about the body of flesh in Romans chapter 7, see, a lot of Christians don't understand that chapter. They think it's talking about a Jew under law, but that book was written to a Gentile, a converted Gentile, and also a converted Jew as well. But that book was really telling you the difference between the body of death and the spirit of life. And sometimes you and I as believers, we operate out of the body of death and we occur this great death through it and then we want God to eradicate the whole thing because we missed it in the spirit. That's insanity. You're supposed to walk out your walk when Jesus becomes your Lord through your spirit, not your body. Now, why am I even bringing all this up? Because I want you to understand that when Jesus came to introduce the application of love, and the fruits of it, he had to introduce a love that could not emanate out of your body of flesh. Whether you realize it or not, as a believer, it is impossible for you to have any form of the love of God that would emanate from the body of flesh. It is impossible. Why? Because your body is in rebellion to the kingdom of God. It rebels in righteousness. Romans chapter 7, when the law was given with a form of righteousness, the very thing that lay dormant in me because of that righteous position, it rose up, sprang to life, and came at me with its rebellion. Well, I don't understand why I never had a problem with sin before until I got saved. I'll tell you why. Because the life of your inner man will not permit you to perform sin on your outer frame. Jacob will rise up and talk to you, Esau. Cain and Abel, another type. God birthed them in the right order. Flesh was formed first, then the spirit. And God was the one that told Cain, Cain, don't go where you're going with your brother Abel. Because Abel is the keeper of the sheep, but Cain is a tiller of the ground. Do you know what is very interesting about Esau? He traded his birthright for his appetite. I know Christians do that today. They'll go and hook up with somebody. They could no longer love God than a man in a dish of bucket water, as far as I'm concerned. And they hook up because we as believers, we're trying to get somebody to love us out of their flesh like God would love them. You can't love out of your flesh. The God kind of love cannot come out of your flesh. Why? Your flesh is a rebellion to God because it's got the nature of death in it. And so what happened? Cain, who insisted that his works through that which was physical was far greater than Abel's, which was spiritual. And so he killed him. And after the fall, that's what happened to mankind's spirit. Over a period of time, his spirit got lost to the body. Are you following what I'm saying? But God told him, after he had killed him, he says, now I will remove your consciousness from your own mind. And it was too much for Cain to bear. And according to church history, he committed suicide. Because God would no longer prick his conscience. But Abel's blood cried out from the ground, meaning there's life after death. And Abel is a type of the inner man. And he lives forever and ever. That's Dean's experience. Stepped out of his body. And when he got there and came back into his body said to him, Dean told me this. Don't you ever do that to me again. Because his body knew that if he didn't come back, it would be graveyard material. Your body craves to live. But it only craves to live out of what it can eat. It'll even sell its birthright so that it can have its appetite appeased. That's your body. Well, what about the devil? Does he get in on this? He's already been destroyed. You just got to have brains enough to recognize that. The devil is the least of your problem. It's your body. When you learn how the body of your flesh operates against the kingdom of God, the devil ain't going to have nothing to work with. You remove his tool. Whew. Now, why am I bringing up this? Well, the fruit, look at verse 22 of this chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I just want to stop the word love here because I'm establishing something. God's love can only come from your inner man. It can't come from your outer man. If any of these loves operate out of your inner man, it's for self-appetite. If it's aerosexual, it's for self-appetite. If it's storge, for friendship with fellow man, it's for advantage over yourself. If it's phileo, it means you'll connect with the body, providing the body can do something for you. If it's agape, it means you sold out totally for yourself. Totally and completely. But Jesus came along with a whole new different person. His name was Jacob. And Jacob was going to remove the reproach. God was going to remove the reproach from Jacob by doing something with Esau. Now, he couldn't kill Esau. And you know when Esau came out of the womb, it said he was all reddish and hairy. It means his life was in his blood and he was like an animal. I'll tell you, you give your body enough information, it'll run with that sucker until it wears you out spiritually. It knows how to fear. It knows how to distrust. It doesn't know how to love. It only knows how to protect self. It is more concerned and worried about itself. Now, notice at verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit. Romans 15:30 says, through the love of the Spirit. Through the love of the Spirit. Colossians 1:8 says, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And when he talked about the love of God, he always said it comes from the spirit of a man. Not the body of man. Well, why can't it come from the body of man? Because that's the man God had to put on the cross and kill a sucker. Now, he couldn't kill your body because you couldn't live through it then. But what he did is he rendered it powerless by putting him to death concerning the kingdom of God and planet Earth. That's why God hates religious people. They're nothing but trying to appease God through the body of flesh. And God can't stand to operate with graveyard material. Now, why did they say all that? Oh, let's go really hang ourselves good in the body of flesh. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. And let's get the mind of God here on some things that are very, very interesting. How many of you are already tired of listening to me right now? You know, again, I'm a textual teacher. I believe in interpreting everything in the text before you pull the scriptures out. You have to know it that way. Look at the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12. But, now it says here, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and then I show you a more excellent way. Well, thank you, Mr. Translator. I'm sure glad that you finally come down to, after all that talking about the gifts of the Spirit and everything, you put it in a second-class position. That there's a more excellent way. Can you see God doing that with anything that He says? I hope not. I struggle with this till finally one day God did something for me, and it was tremendous. I questioned that scripture for years. But yet he said something that was so profound and tremendous that it just shocked me. He said, read it out of the Greek. Wow. And here's how it reads out of the Greek. But desire eagerly the greater gifts. And yet I show you a way according to excellence. He's not diminishing the gifts. He's not discrediting them at all by a more excellent way. He's saying, desire these things, but I want to show you a key to excellence. That makes more sense to me. God isn't decrediting one part of him to exalt another part. He's keeping them both intact. Now notice what he says. I never caught this until I saw that last verse. Though I speak with the tongues. He's talking about a guy that does a lot of word talking. Has a lot to say. About what? Oh, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge and have faith, so that I could even remove mountains in my life. Though I say, here's what it boils down to. You're nothing. Word only ain't going to cut it, Jack. Because the love of God, New Testament, is agapan, which literally means a verb, meaning action. So it means that when we love somebody out of our spirit, we don't have words for it.
Oh, I love you.
We have action. You talk to my wife, she'll tell you, I like the action. I don't like the wording. I like the action. Thank God for the action. This one gets really interesting. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I got to thinking about that. Well, if you burn your body, you ain't going to have to worry about anything else afterwards. But I found out that isn't the wording there. He's continuing with this word mouth thing. And though I bestow all the goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body so I may boast, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So I may boast. I'm going to give a sacrifice so I can boast about it. Didn't say burn the body. He's saying so I could, giving my physical body. I've already claimed what I am spiritually. Now I'm going to show you what I am physically out of my mouth. That's sweet, but not one of us here would say, I would prefer the action over the wording. Because a lot of us have a lot of words.
I love you. I love you.
Well, if you love me, why do you do with the things that you do?
By faith, I love you. I love you.
God's love is not words. God's love is action. You want to know why? Look at the wording that follows. Look at the wording that follows. It has nothing to do with what a guy says and what he does. Oh, don't you hate this? It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, love never fails. We went quickly over those descriptions of the love of God, like suffering long. This literally means that love will hang with somebody from one point to the other, and this point in the Greek is a long time. Love can go a long time with something. How long do I got to put up with this? Until the victory in your heart is won.
How long is that?
How long will it take you? It's up to you. Love suffers long. Yeah, this is a very interesting tense in the Greek. It means it starts at one point you don't know where, and it doesn't have an ending until it's complete. It doesn't give up. This is kind. Well, suffering long means a person who is in strong control of their emotions. Is kind means useful, obliging, willing to help or assist, to stand beside something, to be profitable for benefit. It always remains in a profitable position for someone, not for yourself, but for someone else. Envy is not a strong desire to have an advantage over what another has. This requires to covenant beyond what is necessary for yourself. Its better translation is jealousy. To covet what another has. This God kind of love vaunteth not itself to brag or boast, to think too highly, to elevate above others, prideful, preoccupied with self above others. Have you ever talked to somebody that brags about themselves with their mouth? Always talking about themselves. Puffed up to inflate or blow up a position, or always things in order to be always above others. Conceit to exalt others, to believe in the heart of self-exalted positions. Behaves itself unseemingly, to act indecent, disgracefully, or in an unbecoming manner. Meaning, does not behave in an ugly way or manner in front of others. How many of you have been embarrassed by the way somebody has acted? How about going to a restaurant and you have all your little buddies there? And then you got the one sitting next to you who's telling you the revelation of love, and the waitress makes a mistake on her order. Now I told you! I told you I want them eggs over medium. I didn't want slime. Take them back and cook them. I've learned don't do that with food. It makes the cooks mad. They go to doing things they shouldn't be doing. Put up with the slime. Or leave it in the plate. That incident happened, by the way. I was in a restaurant with some friends of mine. I won't tell you who they were. And they were sitting there and they were just saying how they were so committed and submitted to God. And gave that waitress literal hell over their breakfast. And so I called her on it. Right in the middle of that. You're saying with your mouth. But there ain't no fruit coming out of that mouth. I said, can't you see she's a young girl? This whole restaurant is packed. And when you took your order, the way you ordered it was in such detail, you were figuring you were listening to a preacher by the name of Jan Butler giving you a Greek exhortation. Right in the middle when the whole house is full of people wanting food. And did you see her eyes in her head? They rolled up in the back and shut you off halfway through your order. See, I can discern that because I've been preaching to y'all and I know how y'all react. Seeketh not her own, strive to find a place for a meaning of one's own self. His own authority. A meaning by himself alone. No regard for another's position. To maintain a position for himself. Is not easily to provoke or to rouse to anger. Literally means, you can't get this guy upset at another person. He is slow to wrath. You can't get him ticked off. Thinketh no evil. This word literally is a wonderful word. It literally means you cannot get this guy to remember another person's wrongdoing. You can't get him to dwell on that. He doesn't allow it to log up in his heart to the point where now he can't stand the person. It doesn't mean that he doesn't remember the mistakes the guy made. It literally means he doesn't keep counting it up against him. That's the kind of love God has, and that's why God can put up with you and nobody else can. He's not up there, contrary to himself. He's not logging up all your later wrongs. You know what? You know how God starts with you on a day-to-day basis. Today is a new day for you. Today is a fresh day. Me and you are tight with each other. Let's get it on and get it going right this time. That's God. That's God.
Yep, do you remember what I did yesterday?
I don't care about yesterday. I just say, let's move on today. Sometimes we log up against ourselves. Now notice this, rejoices not in iniquity. You know what this means? This word is a different word for the second word of rejoice in this verse. The first one, this word rejoice, it means for the purpose of self. You're rejoicing in yourself. You found some wrong in somebody else. Woo! Now I have a position to judge them. Boy, I'm happy about that. I thought I was the only idiot. Now I found another idiot to join me. I'm excited about this. Now I can judge the tar out of them. Because you haven't judged it in yourself. But, and here we got the but in between these two rejoices. But, everybody's got a but. Well, God does too. It's His but. He says, but. Rejoices in truth. It means to share together in hopes of a great victory that they'll come through. You start thinking that way about your neighbor, you'll start thinking that way about yourself. Whew. I like this one. He goes right in from all them little things that loved us and says it never fails. But whether there be prophecies, we're jumping back up to this word guy only. They will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. You know what he's saying? He's giving you the conclusions of verses up above here, 1, 2, and 3. He says a guy can say a whole lot of things. But until he's grown up on the inside, till he grows up on the inside, the more excellent way. Now, don't take me wrong in this, but there are Christians that are living from prophecy to prophecy, from a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, from that word to another word to another word, to try to get all their little affairs in life figured out and worked out, and they can't get the understanding. It isn't the prophecy. It isn't the knowledge. It isn't the tongues. That's just partial insight. But what really counts with God is when you grow up. You're a whole lot easier to lead. Because he was talking to the Corinthian church, said, listen, you nuts. You're supposed to be rich and filthy with the gifts of spirit, but you can't grow up on the inside of you. You don't know how to love one another. And I'm going to tell you, without going into all the scriptures, but there are mega scriptures that says faith works through love, works by love, works through love, works by love. Faith works through, faith works by love. When I saw this, I went, oh my gosh. No wonder so many Christians died before their time, never got the victories they wanted to. Their motives were all wrong. It wasn't fostered out of the fact that they grew up in love so that their faith could work in a more excellent way. Now, are you ready? Notice he said how love works. And we found scripture says, only out of your spirit. Hey, Mrs. Single Christian, are you lonely? Well, just hook up with anything that creeps and crawls out there to try to find the love that you need. Well, what love do you need? Do you need your love for your inner man? Or do you need the love for your outer man? Sue shared something with me that was so powerful. I need to look like T.D. Jakes, all sweaty. And Copeland's daughter. Her husband was preaching with Kenneth, or he's a minister. And he told Kenneth Copeland, he said, see that woman down there in the audience? Copeland said, yeah. God told me I'm going to marry her. Kenneth Copeland said, that's my daughter. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You grow up, you get hooked up in love, God'll fulfill your every desire, your heart, for that which is natural. You just got to get hooked up with him. You women, you got to learn something. A good looking guy can be your nightmare. Hey, you guys got to realize something. Good looking woman can be your nightmare. Looks ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, to a point. Anyway. Thank you. Yeah, there are some places I wouldn't go. But anyway, now notice what Paul goes into. The very next thing he goes into. It's very interesting. And a lot of us have missed this. But notice what love does. Love bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. This last verse, verse 7, he tells you. Bill, do you want Miss to lay hands on you there, buddy? You okay? You okay? Good. I didn't want you choking over the word. Notice it said this love bears, believeth, hopeth, and endureth. Do you know what this person did by the name of Paul? He put them in correct order. And did you know that each one that is stated follows the next one and the next? One can't exist without the other. And so verse 7 was very interesting. First of all, it says it beareth. It means to cover the faults of others in order to give time for repair. It means to cover for restoration's sake. And guess what? How you cover somebody is with a little thing called faith. Ooh. Believeth all things. That means to have faith. To believe in something. Whoa. So beareth follows believeth. Whoa. And we believeth what? With hope. So the next one that's hopeth all things. So when we're believing, we should be believing with hope. And you know what it says? To hope in someone or to expect with desire to bear it. Oh, the next word is endureth. That is the word patience. It means to bear up under something or to remain under a load of misery or adversity or persecution or provocation with faith, to complete your faith through patience with people. Oh my gosh. So when a person tells you they love you, oh, I like this one. Pastor, I love you. They might as well do it that way, because I know in their heart they don't no more love me than the man in the moon. Talks cheap. But I'm going to tell you what, people. The love of God carries your faith to its completeness. But what if you say you have faith but have no love? You don't have anything. You don't have anything. Well, I have given my life to this ministry. That's all I get. Yeah. I'm going to go with the scriptures. You didn't get any profit out of it. I don't say that. They claw my eyes out. Now I'm going to say this in closing. Because you all so love me so much for this message this morning. Oh, amen. Go over to Genesis 26. I want you to get a hold of this. Genesis 26. And let's go. Let's go to, oh man, I was trying to find that one prophecy that was given over Jacob and Esau. Anyway, I can't find it right now. I know better than to try to find it. There was a prophecy given about Jacob and Esau. And in that prophecy it says, and I will bring a division between the two. I'll bring a division between Esau and Jacob. Esau being a type of the body of flesh, where Jacob is a type of the spirit. That's where those verses, I will remove the reproach of Jacob. That's what that fits. Meaning that redemption would bring a division of the spirit from the body. If you go to Romans chapter 7, oh, this is powerful. In Romans chapter 7, there was a statement that is made according to the language of the Greek here. It says, verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Actually, this in the original text, it says, therefore, my brethren, you also were put to death through the body of Christ. That is the cross. That you may be married to another is not even in there. That you might belong to a different you. That's what it says in the Greek, that you might belong to a different you. Who was raised from the dead? What different you that was raised from the dead? The Jacob on the inside of the womb of Rebecca. That's what it was referring to. That we should bear fruit to God. And that's why the love of God cannot bear any fruit on your body. It only bears out of your spirit. So a person who says something with their mouth, do they have the actions that follow? And you'll find they don't. Their fruit does not follow their mouth. And that's why Paul worded it the way he did in 12 and 13, is to nail us all to the wall that we had no excuse. Are you really literally growing up? Or are you still looking for partial insight from God to carry on? Well, God doesn't mind giving you partial insight. But you know what? God gets fed up with his children don't grow up. Because if he has the same heart that you as a parent have over your children, you hope that your children would grow up and know the difference between the two. God's the same way. He wants you to grow up. So then he can use you not only in the gifts of the Spirit, but he can also use you as an example to the kingdom of God of what his love is all about. And listen, you are not going, it is impossible to say you love God and you cannot treat your neighbor the same way that you treat God, because both of them come out of the nature of your spirit. That's why it says, oh, wretched man that I am. He says, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing them. Matter of fact, he says, I find myself practicing the very thing I hate. Why? Because it got the struggle on the inside of him. Well, talk about knowing how mature you are when it comes to love. I don't understand why I got this struggle going on the inside of my marriage and my life and my family and my child. I don't understand. Because you're doing a whole lot of listening and not a whole lot of action. Ever gaining knowledge and never coming to truth. What you learn is not your maturity. It's what you do that shows how mature you are. Did you guys get something here today? Woo! Well, I've got to move on. I've got to go to a different church. I got to... Hey, if you could find a church that would alleviate this truth, my flesh would say, hook it up tomorrow. But it's about time we all take on the responsibility of spiritual growth. It's time we all grow up, people. Now that I corrected all of you here this morning, stand up. Father, we're going to close the service here this morning. And Father, this morning, I know that there are people here that very possibly could have never really accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They even question whether they are saved. And Father, we want to minister to them this morning. So when we dismiss the service, I want you to feel free to come forward to confirm that you've been born from above. Because if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. You'll continue to seek for love in all the wrong places. But when you find Jesus and get born from above, you find love in the right place. Hallelujah. And if you've been born again, but you could say, Father, I have been that Esau. I have not wanted to stay in the house. I've wanted to go out and hunt for my appetite. I haven't remained in the house like I should, like Jacob, mama's boy, remained in the house. No, I've been just like Esau, rebellious and in control and out there hunting for my appetite. And I should be in the house where I belong. Hallelujah. And so I want to restore my walk with my Lord. If that fits you here today, when we dismiss this service, please feel free to come forward and letting us pray for you. If you want physical healing, you know, you have your redemptive rights. They belong to you. You need to come up here and let people pray for you and put hands on you because you're believing to receive. Not in hoping that it would manifest, but you're believing to receive. Hallelujah. And if you're new here, visiting for the first time, you have any questions about the service here this morning or anything, we have a hospitality room we'd like you to go to. And we'd be glad to answer any questions. If you're looking for a church, we can give you some information about our church. But we're not to proselyte you from another church, but let God lead you and guide you. And with all that said, Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful people. And I thank you for the Word of God and how it's becoming clearer to us. It puts more responsibility on us, but Father, it is so good. And with that said, remember those of you that want to be born again, restored, healed, whatever it is that you need, the Holy Spirit is here to meet it in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. God bless you.